Good evening, everybody. We'll call this meeting the House Resources Committee to order. I would ask the committee folks to forgive me for my tardiness. The time is now 1:07 p.m. Wednesday, March 16th, 2020. We have everybody here with us producing a quorum. I'd like to say thank you to our recording secretary and LIO moderator, Sophia and Talia. On today's agenda, we have House Bill 304, which is Chugat State Park Eagle River Lions Club by Representative Merrick, and also Senate Joint Resolution 24, which is urging the ending of import of oil and gas from Russia by Senate Resources. First on the agenda is 304. This is our first hearing on the bill. We'll have Rep. Merrick and her staff, Jamie Jones, introduce the bill, have a presentation from Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. And I would ask that Representative Merrick please join us at the testifiers table and put your name on the record and begin the introduction of your bill.
For the record, Kelly Merrick, House District 14. Thank you, Chair Pukatuk, and distinguished members of the House Resources Committee. I appreciate the chance to present House Bill 304, Chugach State Park, Eagle River Lions Club. House Bill 304 is an exciting opportunity for my community of Eagle River, but this legislation will benefit all Alaskans. Lions Park is a special place in the heart of Eagle River. In fact, my history with Lions Park goes all the way back to the 80s when my family traveled from Juneau to Eagle River to participate in the Highland Games there. All of my neighbors have a story about Lions Park. They've played baseball, attended town meetings, watched their children on the playground, danced and celebrated at concerts and fairs, and enjoyed the spectacular fireworks display on the 4th of July. My family has personally spent many, many hours at the Stan Brown Fields at Lions Park. I watched my boys Hunter and Brody grow up playing Pop Warner football there. My daughter Roxy was a Panthers cheerleader rooting on her brothers there. And my husband Joey coached over 400 players there. We've celebrated state championships and made so many wonderful memories at Lions Park. So I thank the committee for your thoughtful consideration and ask for your support of House Bill 304. My staff, Jamie Jones, will give a brief overview of the bill.
Thank you, Rep. Merrick. Ms. Jones?
For the record, Jamie Jones, staff to Representative Merrick. Good afternoon, Chair Pukatuk and members of the Resources Committee. This afternoon, we've come to introduce House Bill 304. In 1964, the Eagle River Lions Club was granted a special land use permit by the Department of Natural Resources for lands within the Chugach State Park. The original permit was for 20 years and has been renewed twice. The current permit expires January 2nd, 2024. Lions Club Park is a very popular community park encompassing 40 acres, centrally located in Eagle River at the junction of Eagle River Road and Eagle River Loop Road. Since 1964, when this agreement was finalized, the Eagle River Lions Club has developed the park, building baseball fields, the clubhouse, and other facilities. As the community has grown, Lions Park has become a recreational staple of the town. Many public events are held there, from sports like Little League to community gatherings, weddings, and holiday fireworks. An Alaska Supreme Court decision in 2013 requires that permits for use of designated state park land must be revocable at will. This decision means that DNR cannot issue a new permit for the Eagle River Lions Club, since the facilities cannot be readily removed. Both the Lions Club and the Department of Natural Resources believe that the Eagle River community will be better served by this park if the Eagle River Lions Club is allowed to operate the park under the direct ownership. This requires a modification of the Chugach State Park boundary to remove this land from it. The Land and Water Conservation Fund requires replacement land of equal value be added to Chugach State Park. You'll see on the map before you, the lighter green color is the boundary of the Chugach State Park. The Lions Park is the little purple square located in the bottom left-hand corner of the map. And the four blue parcels are the suggested replacement land. A memorandum of understanding between the Lions Club and the Department of Natural Resources outlines the terms. Four parcels of general state land will replace the parcel being transferred to the Lions Club. There's no cost to the state, as the Lions Club will cover fees incurred by the department and any appraisal costs associated with all five parcels. We have Dan Butel from Department of Natural Resources, Division of Parks, online with the presentation, and I'll go ahead and hand it over to him now.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Mr. Butel, please put your name on the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Dan Utell. I am from the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation within the Department of Natural Resources. And I hope Jamie's ready to run some slides for me. Thank you. So, Lions Club Park in Chugach State Park. And we can go to the slide. Next slide, please. Jamie, can you please go to the next slide?
Okay. We're on slide one.
Okay, thank you. So Eagle River Lions Club Park is a popular community park in Eagle River, popular, like Representative Merrick and just said, for baseball, softball, sports, neighborhood walks, community gatherings. The Lions Club, has developed and operated the Lions Club Park under a series of permits from DNR. That permit does expire January 2nd, 2024. It's not to be renewed. And I'd also like to point out that there is an organized sports field, the clubhouse with alcohol sales, community park are very different from the rest of Chugach State Park and other state parks around the state. DNR believes that the Eagle River community will be better served by Lions Club Park if the Eagle River Lions Club are allowed to operate the park under their direct ownership. Does require modification of the Chugach State Park boundary, which is set in statute by your predecessor. We can go to the next slide.
Mr. Boutel. We're having a little trouble hearing you. We're going to see if we can get the volume up a little bit. Can you give a test?
Test one, test two.
Better. A little better. Lean into the mic a little bit.
Yeah, sounds good. Will do. All right. Please stop me if you can't hear me from now on. I will try and speak up. A little bit of history here. DNR acquired this 40-acre parcel in 1961 as a mental health grant and issued a permit to the Lions Club in 1964. The Lions Club began developing the park in the 60s and 70s, building baseball fields, clubhouse building, the other facilities that are around the park. Chugach State Park was then designated by the legislature in 1970s, including all state-owned land in this section or square mile, subject to valid existing rights, such as this permit. This section was presumably included because Eagle River flowed through the southern portion of this section. So we go on to the next slide here. The Land and Water Conservation Fund grants from the federal government were first used in Chugach State Park in 1970, shortly after the park was designated. These LWCF grants require the state to preserve the park for outdoor recreation in perpetuity. Any use other than outdoor recreation constitutes a conversion and requires replacement land of equal value to be added to the park. And I should point out that it is based on value, not on area, and that the outdoor recreation and they have to be owned by either the state or a political subdivision of the state. So the Division of Parks has renewed the permit for two additional terms, as mentioned. Current permit expires in January 2024. Then in 2013, the Alaska Supreme Court issued a decision in SOP v. DNR that permits for use of legislatively designated state parks, such as Chugach, must be revocable at will. This decision means that DNR cannot issue a new permit to the Eagle River Lions Club since the facilities cannot be readily removed. Hopefully everyone's hearing me okay so far, and I'll just have a few pictures here of some of the facilities at Lions Park for those who haven't been there or aren't from in the Anchorage area as much. We've got some baseball fields. They have excellent, very nice fields, great views of the mountains as well. Football field, and there's a picnic shelter, a playground, and the Lions Clubhouse here. So Jamie, hopefully this is all tracking right along with the pictures. everyone's getting a chance to see these.
Yeah, it's working fine. Thank you, Mr. Boutreau.
So then I just wanted to jump away from Lions Club Park to Chugach State Park generally and just offer a little bit of an overview to the committee here. The park covers approximately 485,000 acres, mostly undeveloped mountains, stretching from Kinnick River Road to Turnagain Arm. Visitor activities include sightseeing, hiking, ATVing, snowmobiling, skiing, hunting, fishing, and much more. The facilities that are there are primarily trails with trailheads and campgrounds and public use cabins. There are no other facilities in Chugach State Park like Lions Club Park or organized team sports. No Alaska State Park has a facility comparable to Lions Club Park. The Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation lacks experience, funding, or authority to operate facilities for these types of sports. And then we have a bit of info here on the Land and Water Conservation Fund conversion and replacement land. LWCF requires replacement land of equal value be added to Chugach State Park to replace the Lions Club Park if it is removed. There are four parcels of general state land, three in Eagle River Valley and one on Pioneer Peak, which are the proposed replacement parcels. I'll be discussing those on the next few slides. Replacement parcels are all steep mountains adjacent to Chugach State Park. The primary current use appears to be wildlife habitat with occasional use by hikers or hunters. None of them has any active DNR authorizations, no development or mineral potential. And the inclusion of these parks will not change or substantially change access for hunters, hikers, or others who currently use the parcels. So I've got a sort of summary table here of the parcels, the changes to the park. The values are based on tax assessed or estimated values. So they will be required to be appraised by an appropriately certified appraiser as part of the LWCF conversion. So we will finalize these values, but you can see approximate values based on the tax assessor's work. So I will go to the first parcel here in Eagle River in Meadow, up in the blue in the Meadow Creek Valley. It covers about 60 acres, estimated value about $150,000. This photo you're seeing is looking at the parcel, kind of looking across the valley into the parcel in Meadow Creek. It's the low point in that valley. Sorry, the light was very flat on the day that I managed to hike out there to take a look at it. North of the parcel is a handful of larger lots that are residential development. To the east is an existing Chugach State Park, and to the south is land owned by the municipality of Anchorage as part of the Heritage Lands Bank. Parcels 2 and 3 here are further out Eagle River Road. Parcel 2 covers 60 acres on a steep slopes near Berry Hill Road, and parcel 3 covers 24 acres on a steep slope above Eagle River Road. They're both adjacent to existing Chugach State Park parcels with a handful of private property also backing up here.
Thank you, Mr. Boutel. Before you change slides, we've got a question from Representative Fields.
Hi, Mr. Butel. Zach Fields here. Just curious, does parcel 3 come down to the right-of-way for Eagle River Road, or is it not quite there?
Representative Fields, through the chair, the answer is no, not quite. It is very close to, but has not quite reached the Eagle River Road right-of-way. There is a section line easement that connects from the road right-of-way to that parcel. That section line easement is quite steep. It is possible to hike up it, but I can't imagine it could develop anything other than that very steep hiking trail.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Roush.
And thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering, you've got 1, 2, and 3, another state land that is not in a park. And I was just wondering, are these parcels surrounded by state land that's not in the park? The parts that is not in the park, is that state land that surrounds them?
Representative, was it Rauscher through the chair? These are bordered either by Chugach State Park land or by privately owned land. So the adjacent parcels are owned mostly by private individuals for apparently residential use. Some of them are, there's one or two parcels of Occlutna Inc. Native Corporation land that border them as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hannon.
Thank you. I want to go to parcel one. It looks like parcels two and three both are, you know, butt right up against the state park. And you did mention on parcel three that there's a section line easement. My understanding of a section line easement is that it's to be exercised, can be exercised to access your property. You mentioned it with regard to parcel three, which it doesn't seem to me from this scale of map that there would be much private property across there. But when I look at parcel one, which is positioned as an L perpendicular to the majority of state park boundaries, I want to know if there's a section line easement through that state, that proposed addition, that would be exercisable to access the private property that's now sort of two squares inside of it.
Representative Hannon, through the chair, those two squares that you see between the proposed addition, parcel one, and the existing Chugach State Park in green, one of those, or that they're all accessed by a road which breaks off from basically Skyline Drive and Eagle River. So they connect to the rest of the road system there. They, some of them, and they have platted rights of way as well within their subdivision connecting or going between the parcels that have been surveyed out privately out. So the access for both practical and legal terms would be through that existing road system, platted right of way. They wouldn't need to cross that parcel of state land, and that parcel would be, an impractical route because it then leads you towards a very steep hillside to the south on which is owned by the municipality through their heritage land bank.
Hopefully,
answering that question.
You had most of it to me, but you were tapering off, and I guess I've been working through understanding section line easements over a dispute in my district and coming to understand. So I want to make sure the Division Land and Water has made that assessment that there would be no one using a section line easement through that state park parcel to access their land in those two squares. You've said that that's, you know, that there is legal accessible use, but my understanding is anyone can exercise a section line easement to access their private property. They just need you to tell them there is a section line there. So I am wanting to make sure that the Division of Land and Water has said there is no section line easement that could be exercised on that parcel, parcel one.
Sounds like we may need to get back to you, Representative, after we get a chance to talk to Division of Mining, Land, and Water. There is not, though, a section line that bisects that addition parcel.
Well, that would be the answer. If there's no section line there, then they can't access the section line easement. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Boutel and Representative Hannon. I think we'll allow the fellow to get through his slides before we deploy more on him. And I'd like to welcome Representative Bacardi in the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will resume. I think I was on the slide with some pictures of the two parcels two and three here. So, yeah, they're as you can see in these pictures, parcel two is a very steep hillside. It's got a nice view across Eagle River. It has some steep trees, mostly birch, some spruce. Looks like reasonable wildlife habitat. Maybe somebody wants to go hiking up there. It looks like there's a few people heading out hiking at the end of Berry Hill Road, probably just the local residents who live on that road. And then parcel three here is one of them is a looking up, again, steep hillside. The picture where you see Eagle River Road there, you're looking down at the road from basically the downhill edge of the parcel between where the photograph is taken and the road is, like I said, there's a bit of a steep section line easement that would provide access at least for a hiker or hunter working on foot. So I will jump now to parcel four, which is out at Pioneer Peak. And this is a large parcel that is surrounded on two sides by Chugach State Parkland. And then the rest of the area adjacent is, there's a few pieces of private land down near Knick River Road and the Knick River. And then there's some land owned by Siri and I believe also Kootenai Inc., the regional and village native corporations for the area. And so there's some access there. There is the Pioneer Peak Trail, which is heading uphill. The lower portion of the Pioneer Peak Trail is not part of this. The trailhead is owned by the Matthew Borough and maintained by them. And then the existing trail that is the hiking trail out there enters this parcel like a mile up the trail or so. Again, mostly hillside with not much other active development. So I will jump to a conclusion here. Proposed bill, as said, directs DNR to complete the LWCF conversion and retain road and utility rights of way to the extent that they don't already exist. They're pretty much in place. I'm just going to double check a few things and make sure there's absolutely nothing being missed. And convey the Lions Club Park to Eagle River Lions Club. On completion of these steps, Lions Club Park is here at the community park. Chugach State Park boundaries are updated, and access to Chugach State Park stations for hunters, hikers, and other park visitors is unchanged. And that is the conclusion of my presentation. I'm available for questions, of course.
Thank you, Mr. Boutel. Representative Hannon.
Mr. Boutel, this is... I think most people who've hiked on Pioneer Peak would be surprised to learn that it's not already part of Chugach State Park. But again, since you pointed out that the first mile of that trail is in the Matsu Borough, does the Chugach State Park have an agreement to make sure that the Matsu Borough does not, or what is the guaranteed access to that trail that exists in making, you know, I think this is a great land transfer in Pioneer Peak, it, like I said, is certainly perceived as being part of the existing state park, but I want to make sure that that 1 mile of access that is outside the state park is protected, and access to Pioneer Peak is in perpetuity.
Excellent question, Representative Hannon, through the chair. Thank you. The access to Pioneer Peak there is something I'll have to do a little research on and get back to you. I apologize. It is on public lands of but I will have to research the exact status and pin it down and get back to you.
Looking forward to the follow-up. Representative Fields.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Not a question so much as a comment that for people who haven't been to this part of the park, securing this area on Pioneer Peak is of immense public value, as Representative Hannon noted. And just from a public value perspective, more than justifies the transfer for Lions Club. So I think it's a great addition for the park and for everyone in Anchorage and the surrounding communities who use the park. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative McKay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair. And I'd like to thank Representative Merrick and staff Jamie Jones for being here today and presenting this. I have a few questions. maybe I don't understand completely. This probably sounds like a great idea. Everybody's happy about it. I'm just curious. The Lions Club Park, the slides aren't numbered, but in this table it says its estimated worth is $1.4 million. Is this park located in the municipality of Anchorage right now, technically? And who pays those property taxes now? I assume it's DNR, because they're the owner. And then secondly, if we're going to convey land, I guess that means we're just going to give it to them. Convey means give, right? And then who will pay the property taxes after? The Lions Club will pay on $1.4 million of assessed value. How much will those taxes be? What if the good folks of the Eagle River Lions Club come upon hard times and they can't pay the taxes? And then what if I move to Eagle River and I take over the Eagle River Lions Club and I decide to convert it into a mobile home park? What happens after this is conveyed? What safeguards are there that the taxes will get paid and it'll always remain a park? Those are the types of questions I'm curious about. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative McKay.
Through the chair.
Ms. Merrick. Rep. Merrick, Ms. Jones, would you like Mr. Boutel?
Yeah.
Mr. Boutel.
All right. Thank you. Rep. McKay, through the chair. I would say, so far there is a value assigned for tax assessed purposes by the municipality bank. However, they don't actually charge any taxes on state-owned land. The state's interest in lands are exempt from taxation by local government. Once it is conveyed to the Lions Club, the Lions would technically be responsible. However, as a 501c3 recognized nonprofit, they are eligible for a property tax exemption and should be able to qualify for that. They'll have to do a little bit of paperwork to the municipality to keep that current, but that is, I believe it's an authorization that is authorized by state law. To do a little research to refresh myself on the details. So they should not have to pay property tax. Regarding the park status, this is an important point, and I apologize for not bringing it up earlier. There is a clause in the bill that says DNR would retain a reversionary interest so that if the park is no longer being, or the property is no longer used as a community park, it would revert back to DNR. So if the Lions attempted to develop it, however, that means into something that is not a community park, it would revert back to DNR, which could then appropriate land management steps and make how to manage that space.
Okay, thank you. Sounds great.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Seeing or hearing none, before we go into invited testimony, is there anything the bill sponsor would like to say?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the attention of the committee, and there's, as you can see from letters of support, the folks of Eagle River are very excited about this.
Okay. Who we take up first? Does that matter, the order of Mr. Richard Fagg or Ben Corwin?
Through the chair, Richard Fagg would be our only other invited testifier today.
Mr. Fagg, please put your name on the record and provide your public testimony, or your invited testimony, sorry.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Richard Fagg, the president of the Eagle River Lions Club. And it's been my honor and pleasure to oversee the operation and upkeep of the Eagle River Lions Park over the past year as president. The park itself is the only facility of its kind in the whole Eagle River Chugach area, and its importance to the community is incredible and cannot be emphasized enough. When you see the different youth sports organizations that hold sporting events and practices for the youth of our community in our park, and when you see all the people who enjoy it for recreational activities, both in winter and summer, it's hard to imagine our community without this park. From our tennis courts, which when the refurbishment is completed will host both tennis and pickleball tournaments and play, to our football fields that the Pop Warner teams use, and our baseball fields that the boys' baseball and girls' softball teams utilize, There are basketball courts that in the summer are constantly in use. There are horseshoe pits that people often enjoy. The options for activities in the park are immensely, incredibly great. We also have plans for creating a new dog park this summer for people to bring their dogs and walk them in a safe environment. We also plan on completely renovating our playground and adding new playground equipment for the children of the community. This bill would allow our Lions Club to continue to maintain and promote these activities for our community members and keep the park open for everyone to enjoy. I hope that you'll pass this important legislation and allow us to keep doing this important work for another 60 years and beyond. Thanks for your consideration.
Thank you. Are there any questions from committee members for Mr. Fagg before we go into public testimony? Seeing or hearing none, that's what we'll do then. Public testimony is now open on House Bill 304. I'd like to ask those testifying to put their name on the record and any affiliation and residency, and would remind folks that we'd like to keep it close to 2 minutes to allow everybody the opportunity. And we'll start with Mr. Former Representative Bill Stoltz. I hope recovery is going well.
Yeah, it's a good life, Mr. Chairman. Away. My name is Bill Stoltz. I'm a lifer out of Chugiak. I'm a member of the community and a Lion and a user, probably the first time in excess of 50 years ago. And now I've had the privilege of help support and conduct events there. And when I first played my first Little League game there, it was pretty much one field and a couple of basketball courts and just a shadow of what it is now. Now it's a state-of-the-art facility, houses Kinnick Little League, which has a parallel existence with Lions, running almost 60 years. The thing I'd like to, we have incredible facilities, is our Lions president has said, but probably the real remarkable thing is this is done without any operating support from state or local governments. There has been capital help over the years, not large amounts, but imagine a facility of this size, which doesn't charge anybody to use it and is constantly improving and upgrading, providing opportunities. And the clubhouse as well is the largest community facility in our area. Without that facility, a lot of events wouldn't be happening in my hometown. But I guess it's I think I'd be remiss. I got a call from Ricky Geese probably right after end of 2020. I'd spent a lot of time over the years in my old capacity fighting for extensions. I'm very envious of Representative Barrage and Field and McCarty having the opportunity to close this deal once and for all and make sure that as Mr. Fagg said, continue another 60 years and beyond. It works. And this is a rare case. Government's trying to make things right. We're not trying to, it's not broke and nobody's trying to fix it till it is. We're trying to make it permanent, allow things to operate the way they've been operating successfully. So thank you for the sponsors and thank you for the proactivity of the Dunleavy administration and Mr. Geese, who brought this issue first, that this opportunity created by the necessity of the lease expiring. I appreciate your time and looking forward to participating in the process as the sponsors shepherd this through. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Next, we've got another former representative, Mr. Dan Sadler. If you could please put your name on the record, provide your public testimony.
Very good. Thank you, Chairman Packattack and members of the House Resources Committee. For the record, this is Dan Sadler. I'm a resident, 28-year resident of Chugiak Eagle River, former member of your committee, and a member of the Chamber of Commerce that has already testified in support of this and written. I just want to go on record with my support for House Bill 304. It's very clear from the previous testimony and from the written record you have before you that the Lions Park is a tremendously important asset for our entire community. It's the heart of our sports and civic activities and social activities. They do make their facility available at to the community for very important functions, fundraisers, social events, political and civic activities, and it's just been a tremendous thing, and it kind of demonstrates that when Chugach Eagle River needs something for the community, they look to themselves and pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and don't necessarily look to government. This particular bill, and I want to thank the sponsor for bringing this forward, this is a win-win in that it provides certainty in the ownership of this important facility for Eagle River, and it provides additional land for the Chugach State Park, which is another important part of our state and part of our community. So I really want to commend the sponsor for coming up with a way to resolve this issue in a way that benefits both parties, but more importantly, benefits the people of our community and guarantees access to a tremendous asset. I want to thank also the Lions for making this facility open to the community. They're a wonderful organization, and they do a lot of good for our community. And Lions Park, everyone knows where Lions Park is. It's just a tremendous part of our town, and I encourage members of the committee to give it favorable consideration and to vote it through with all due passes. And I also want to thank the Director of Parks, Ricky Geese, for his efforts on behalf of the Dunleavy administration to make this possible and to work with our local legislative delegation to make it possible. Thank you for your time, sir. Appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you. Next in the queue, we've got Ryan Johnson. Mr. Johnson, if you could please put your name on the record, any affiliation, residency, and provide your public testimony.
Yes, my name is Ryan Johnson. Thank you for hearing my testimony. I am a 40-year resident of Eagle River Chugach, second-generation born in the community. I am currently the second vice president of Eagle River Lions and soon to be nominated for the presidency role this next coming year. I'm also the building manager. I've been managing the facility there for almost 2 years now, renting and leasing and all that for the local charitable organization, Celebrations of Life, as well as fundraisers for booster clubs and, you know, bowling alley teams and stuff like that. And I just want to say thank you for the opportunity of presenting this bill and allowing us to continue to manage the property as a community resource for sports. I've pitched on all those mounds myself, so has my uncle. So this is pretty dear to my heart. So just want to say thank you for your time and hope this bill goes forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnston. Next, we have William Affleck. Mr. Affleck, if you could please put your name on the record, any affiliation, residency, and provide your public testimony.
Good afternoon, legislatures. I am William Robert Affleck. I am the vice president of the Eagle River Lions. And I thank you for taking my testimony, and I support House Bill 304. Of course I do. I've sent my written testimony into you, and I actually added to it because I started remembering so many things that we do at the Lions that we just can't get it all on paper. But you've seen the highlights. You've heard of what people are talking about. I like the phrases that I've heard, win-win, and it doesn't cost anything to our state. Those are good things. But more important than that is the passion. If you came to our Lions Club and you saw how we began our meetings and you've seen how we conduct ourselves, you'll see it's the passion of the Eagle River Lions that make us what we are. And so, you know, we talked about certain things. Tiny talked about certain things. He's our president, Mr. Fagg. The new children's playground is going to be accessible. It's going to be accessible for handicapped children. It's going to be accessible for non-handicapped children. It's going to be an awesome, awesome thing. And we do it all with volunteers and with donations from the community, and we give it right back to them. You know, the Eagle River Lions has been a club as long as I've been alive, 60 years. And I've only been a member for 3 years. One of the guys who made me join, Lion Steve Grohl, told me stories about when he was 11, 12 years old, picking up rocks, clearing those fields for the community. It's always been, and what we joke about, lovingly joke about, is we say it's all about the kids. It is about the kids. Children are our future. We know that. We say it. This is the way to prove it. We know what we're doing here. We want the state to be involved as far as understanding what we do, and we invite anyone to come and see what we do. So I thank you for taking my time The one thing I did want to mention is we call our Alliance Park the Stan Brown Memorial Park. Why? Stan Brown brought Pop Warner football to the Eagle River, Chugiak area, even in Anchorage. It all started out with Stan Brown, a proud Lion. I thank you for your time today on this important matter. It's important to us. It's important to the community of Eagle River, and I believe it's more important for the children of Eagle River. I thank you so very much.
Thank you, Mr. Affleck. Next, we've got Steve Grohl. Mr. Grohl, if you could please put your name on the record, any affiliation, residency, and provide your public testimony.
Hello, and thank you all. My name is Steve Grohl. I am a past president and current membership chairman of the Eagle River Lions. I grew up in Eagle River, over a 50-year resident of Eagle River. My father was one of the first park managers ever, and as Lion Bill Bill Affleck just told you, when I was actually 8 years old, I raked rocks on the very first baseball field as the members cleared the stumps for the first baseball field, and now there's 10 baseball fields if you count the t-ball fields and everything up there, along with the two football fields and the tennis courts and the basketball courts and the horseshoe pits and the playground. It's just an amazing park. I honestly don't believe there's a better park in the state that's run by even municipalities and governments than the Eagle River Lions, run by 100% volunteers. There's not one paid member in the club, not the president, treasurer, secretary, nobody. And nobody in that entire club is paid. But our membership continually grows and grows and grows. And right now we're over 85 members, all volunteers, that over 50% of those show up to every meeting to help out. And their whole purpose is to donate their time and to make sure that that park stays free to everybody. We have great user agreements with the Kinnick Little League and the Pop Warner. The way we're able to maintain them is we have them maintain them, and then we do not charge them to use them. And that allows us the power, really, to maintain that park without a paid employee and without it constantly requesting funds and help. So I think it's been an incredible arrangement for over 50 years that nobody can match. And it's been so influential to just about everybody in the community. There's not a family there that park hasn't touched. So I appreciate so much what the DNR has done with and worked with us over the last year or so, just trying to figure out a framework for this, make sure we're able to maintain keeping it happen. So thank you, Ricky, and our representatives. I can't tell you how much the communication back and forth has really helped us to really even understand it all. But we want to make sure that we can keep it going for the community. So thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Grohl. Can you verify there's nobody else online? With that, we'll give the opportunity for anybody in the room willing to provide public testimony on 304. Representative McCarty, I'll give you some opportunity after public testimony to provide a few comments if you'd like. Seeing no other members of the public willing to testify, we'll now close public testimony on 304. Further comments from committee members before we set the bill aside? Representative McKay.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, I just see on the last page of the Memorandum of Understanding that the agreement requires the Eagle River Lions Club to pay DNR $50,000 for the Lions Club Park to cover their the DNR's anticipated administrative costs. So there is some money involved here. I just wondered if a club will have any trouble coming up with that amount of money, $50,000.
You'd like to speak on behalf of the club, or maybe is one of our public testimony providers that was president of the Lions Club. Can you provide clarification on that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, through the chair, we have plans to approach numerous entities for grants, the Rasmussen Foundation for one that we've begun working with for some of our other projects, as well as numerous other entities that have already donated to us before, and we know they're more than supportive of us to work on this, as well as we have income streams from our gaming activities that we do with certain other organizations, as well as our own, that will help with this. So we have plans to handle this. It's worth it.
it's something that we will make sure happens.
Thank you, Mr. Fagg. Representative Kronk.
Thank you, Chair Puckett. This sounds like a great thing for Eagle River and especially for the kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hopkins.
Thanks. Yeah, it sounds like from the testimony from the Eagle River, the creative solutions that Rep. Merrick found working with the department on this is really good. And nice that it costs nothing and it's going to be able to keep the park going. So appreciate your work on this, Rep. Merrick, and making sure that you guys work closely with the Eagle River Lions Club going forward.
Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Puckett, or Mr. Chairman. I want to take the opportunity to just put on the record, because in a previous bill involving a state park, I had concerns about setting a precedent. And, of course, we'd heard from a different parks advisory board in opposition to a land swap. And in this case, the advisory board for the state park is completely unanimous in support of this transfer. The management plan for the park, going back a number of years, calls for the transfer. I think it will be a great asset. And in this circumstance, the park will remain a park parcel, just not a state park. It will be a park that, when you say to a five-year-old, we're going to a park, they'd recognize it as a park. So I'll be supportive of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hannah. Any other committee members care to provide comment on the bill? Representative Roche.
Yeah, I just want to thank you all for bringing this forward. I appreciate your work. And I know that the community will appreciate it. And I also know what it's like trying to make this happen. I've tried myself in the past. So I just thank you.
Thank you, Representative Shragi.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Puckett. I just wanted to associate myself with the comments from Representative Hannon regarding this transfer and thank the bill sponsor for bringing this forward. It's not often we find a win-win in the legislature, and I think you found one, so that's a little bit special, and thank you for it.
Thank you. Any other comments from committee members? Seeing none, Representative McCarty, if you can join Rep. Merrick at the table and provide your comments if you'd like.
Thank you, Chair Puckett. Representative Ken McCarty from Chugiak Eagle River, Jay Bear. Thanks for the opportunity to speak, and I'm very thankful for this process and Rep. Merrick in being involved in this piece. As you know, the park's been there for 60 years. And first of all, I'll add to the list of accolades, I'm also a Lion. And it's an honor to be there. The thing about Lions Park is what you heard is that it's strictly run by volunteers. And all the development of it is by hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the community making it happen. And all the different pieces that exist is because of the people of the community. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time because it's minor, but my involvement with Lions Park is, as you know, I'm very fond of the game of tennis. And I was involved in trying to help something in Eagle River on some other tennis courts. And they weren't happening because of the expense of the muni saying that it's going to cost this much. Going to the Lions and saying, can I help fix these tennis courts there that had trees growing up through the middle of them? And they're, sure, you know, you can coordinate that. And the amount of volunteers and the in-kind donations that some other tennis courts similar cost $460,000 for courts replenishing them. And the Lions Club, the people of Eagle River and such, that they put that together for about $70,000. And it's just amazing. This has been the standard of Lions Park. And it does not have a name of any individual really in the park, because there's, like I said, hundreds if not thousands of people that have contributed to that, that they don't pay tribute to one person. It's just called Lions Park, and it's known as the Park of the People. So the intent of Parks and Rec for such as this continues on, and it's marvelous. It's been an island in the state park system, and so by bringing those other parcels of land to the state park, solves that issue. It solves the issue that Lions Park is no longer an island of the state park system. So I appreciate this, and I call it a triple win. So it's a win for the legislature as well to make a good decision on this. And I'm going to close with this. So one of the big things with the Lions is that hear them roar. And they've been roaring for 60 years, and you could roar with them. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Representative McCarty. Closing comments, Representative Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Pocketock. As you can hear from the enthusiasm with our callers, this is a very important bill for our community. The lease is going to expire in 2024, so I'm hoping to get this bill through the legislature now, because after this portion is done, we need to get some federal permitting done. So I appreciate the committee's time today and ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Merrick and Ms. Jones, for taking the time to walk us through what the bill does and facilitate the good discussion on the matter. The plan is to set this bill aside and pick it back up on Friday. I would implore committee members to get their amendments, if they have any, over to my office by 1 p.m. tomorrow. And we look forward to working on it again with you towards the end of the week. Thank you, Representative Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next on the agenda, we've got Senate Joint Resolution 24, which we'll now take up. This is our first hearing of the joint resolution, and we're to be joined by Senator Rivak and his staff member, Intimayo, I forget your last name. Orbisa, okay. So to ensure the resolution remains timely, our goal will be to hear it from the chair of the other body's resources committee, Senator Rivak, and take public testimony, then look to the will of the committee as far as their appetite towards moving it today. I'd ask that you please put your name on the record, introduce your staff, and begin the introduction of your resolution.
Yes, thank you, Chair Puckatuck and Vice Chair Hopkins, members of the Resources Committee. I'll start out by saying this is not my bill. This is a Resources Committee bill. We're very proud that it was a bipartisan effort in our committee and received unanimous support on the Senate floor. I really appreciate the opportunity to bring this in front of you. It's a resolution that, like I said, we worked on together. The CS before you reflects that. We made some changes in the committee. And basically what this says is SJR 24 urges the federal administration and the U.S. Congress to utilize the energy resources of the state of Alaska to offset the import of Russian oil and gas. The resolution further urges the expansion of U.S. domestic energy production to help fortify and secure the country as a whole. It's a national security issue to us. And here's kind of part of the reason this is on our minds is Russia's unprovoked attack on Ukraine has definitely highlighted the United States' reliance on oil from Russia and other foreign adversaries. We imported nearly 220 million barrels of oil from the Russian Federation last year. We import around that amount annually. It's grown here in the last year, but we contributed over $20 billion to the Russian Federation by purchasing that oil. That's more than we produced here in Alaska. Alaskan oil and gas can help fill the void left from eliminating the dependence on authoritarian energy regimes from producers like Russia. As the United States and other domestic nations have seen so clearly since the beginning of this Russian invasion, we cannot be reliant on authoritarians, dictators, and tyrants who have no regard for human life or the environment or energy needs or social responsibility. There is a social, humanitarian, and environmental obligation to divest from those despot-linked countries' energy sources, while at the same time, there is an opportunity and responsibility to manage our resource development here in Alaska responsibly. I spoke with three individuals currently in Ukraine who are recently forced to flee from their homes, and they talked a lot about the terrors they're experiencing there every day. And so I guess I'll end by saying, we've heard a lot of conversation about what is socially responsible, what's environmentally friendly, and I think oftentimes we have a narrow view about what that means in terms of our actions here domestically, but we overlook that we don't change global demand by decreasing our responsible production here. What we do is we empower foreign dictators. And so the idea is, part of the conversation was we want to highlight some of our
some of our advanced the strides we've taken in renewable energies. All that's great. Our technology is advancing very rapidly. And we definitely want to celebrate that, and I think there's more to come in the future, but this specifically is geared towards national security. And so, again, it was a bipartisan effort. We're pretty proud of it, and we're very excited and thankful that the committee is here to hear it today. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rivak. Any questions from committee members before we roll in public testimony on the matter? Seeing or hearing none, that's what we'll do. Public testimony on Senate Joint Resolution 24 is now open. Can you verify there's nobody online to provide public testimony, and anybody in the room looking to provide public testimony on the Senate Joint Resolution? Seeing or hearing none, with that, SJR 24 public testimony is now closed. Any further comments from committee members on SJR 24 before we go to closing comments? Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and through the chair and Senator, this isn't any, I support the resolution. I just want to remind ourselves as a committee that we as a state have, play a role in making sure that we are pushing for developments like Pika and Willow, and we have had some hurdles placed in those developments on the state side. Through some of our leasees. And we want to make sure that we are, you know, those are the two developments and fines that are the soonest we could bring into production, yet we've got hurdles to bring them into production over the state leasing or our lessees on state leases. And we need to make sure that we are putting the political pressure there to get those resolved so those projects can go forward, so that we're not just turning to Washington and placing the blame there about bureaucracy, because, you know, there are times where we say we're open for business and then we say, oh, well, we don't really have a dog in this fight and we'll let the two market competitors work it out amongst them. And we have an obligation to make sure that those leasees remember that they're working for us and we want those projects developed. So, with that, I have no other comments on the resolution.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from committee members, Representative Fields?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. Totally agree with my colleague from Juneau. The administration needs to permit PICA yesterday to get that final investment decision done and get oil flowing by 2025. But I wanted to just maybe suggest a next step. Totally agree with this resolution. It's great, and I hope that our resource committees and perhaps labor and commerce committees would make sense too, could look at critical mineral development, not just developing the minerals, but actually the entire supply chain and keeping that supply chain within North America for our long-term security. You know, if we're producing critical minerals and China's producing all the components that go in our jets and our vehicles, we're not really secure. And I think we should think as a legislature about what Alaska's role and potentially Canada's role as well is in bringing those entire supply chains home to North America so we have long-term security, because really, long-term, if we can't produce more planes, more vehicles than any other country on Earth in a period of, you know, potential insecurity, then we're not secure. We need to be able to produce these things here at home, the entire supply chain. It does start with our minerals, but we have to refine and ultimately manufacture things in North America as well. So just wanted to suggest that as a potential next step as we wrap this one up, and I totally agree with this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fields. Is it an amendment? Or?
No. I think complicated enough to do next.
Yeah. Any other comments or questions from committee members before we take a brief at ease? Seeing none, that's what we'll do. We'll come back at about 2:10, give the opportunity for Representative Rausch to talk to this bill sponsor. Back on the record from the bathroom break. Any other comments from committee members before we look to the will of the committee? Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I just had a small, I guess, concern, which I'm not going to act on, but it was a concern, and it is a concern for me. But the intent of the bill is to get our administration to look toward Alaska for oil and hydrocarbon searches in this world and not outside. And so, but I did have on 19, it was just the word that 19 page 2 is the word unprovoked. I think it's debatable on what that word means. And to me, it means probably something other than what it means to other people. So, but I do agree there's aggression. So I'm not going to do anything here. I'm going to let this move on because it needs to happen soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Any other comments from committee members before we look to the will of the committee? Seeing or hearing none, I'll actually give the opportunity to Senator Reback to make some closing comments if you'd like to before we take a vote on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just very quickly again, the Resources Committee in the Senate very much appreciates your efforts here. There's been really great discussion. I don't disagree with any of it and look forward to those conversations and maybe some collaborative efforts in the future. And so, again, just a lot of gratitude on behalf of our Senate Resources Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Reback. Vice Chair Hopkins.
Thank you. From the House Resource Committee to the Senate Resource Committee, I move Senate Joint Resolution 34, Work Order 32-LS1619/I from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Any objection from committee members? Seeing or hearing none, the resolution has moved from committee. We'll take a brief at ease and allow members to sign the committee report. Just want to foreshadow the schedule a little bit. On Friday, we'll take HB 299, which is the microreactors, and taking invited testimony from Marcus Nichols, the Senior Director of New Reactors at the Nuclear Energy Institute. Oh, we rescheduled that to Monday. Okay, yeah. And then we'll be taking up House Bill 304 for final consideration. With that, the committee is adjourned at 2:17 p.m.